thing, which is Abid Ahmed et al. Versus John Ashcroft. Mr. Coteau.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. Your Honors, this is a case on appeal from a denial by the Board of Immigration Appeals of my client's motion to reopen his case following the dismissal, summary dismissal, for failure to file a brief of the in support of his appeal of the immigration judge's denial of a claim for asylum. In this case, Your Honor, the immigration judge had found that it was a very difficult decision and ruled as he did that he denied the motion for the claim for asylum on the basis that even though it was a mixed motive case, he considered it more an economic basis than because my clients were Muslim, that the persecution they experienced was therefore not under one of the five enumerated grounds, and denied the claim, but suggested that the BIA may have a different result. It was appealed to the board, and the attorney that they had hired failed to file a brief. There's a clear notice on the notice of appeal that the board can summarily dismiss if no appeal is, no brief is filed. My clients did not get a full and fair hearing on the merits. It was a close case. The attorney failed to file a brief, and as a result, the board did summarily dismiss. They never reached the merits of my client's claim. And thereafter, they sent notice of the decision, not to the petitioners, not to my client, but to the attorney. The attorney had apparently moved in the meantime, and the notice that the board had sent out had been returned to the board, marked as moved.
Where is the Ahmed family now? Have they been deported?
They were not deported. There was a second notice by the BIA sent out, which was also returned by the Postal Service as undeliverable as addressed. No notice was ever sent to my clients, only to the attorney, but the attorney failed to advise the board, failed to advise my clients, failed to advise anyone of his address. The first notice that my clients had, and they had lived at the same address for 10, 12 years since they came into the country. The first notice that they had was what's called a bag and baggage notice. It's an I-166 form that the service delivers to an alien after a final BIA decision has been rendered, indicating that they are to report on a specific date at a specific time with 44 pounds of luggage for them to be deported. At that time, they attempted to contact the attorney. They were ultimately successful in finding his phone number on the internet. They made numerous attempts to contact him. They called his office. He refused to answer any of their calls. They asked for their file back. That request was ignored. They hired new counsel who filed the motion to reopen. The motion to reopen was filed within a matter of weeks from the time that they did find that some decision had been entered, although they didn't know what the decision was at that time. A Freedom of Information Act request was filed in order to obtain the documents that their attorney would not provide to them. There were in the board's records, however, the board specifically knew that the attorney had failed to file a brief, and it was on that basis that they had denied the claim. They knew from the returned envelopes that no notice had been received by the petitioners through their counsel or otherwise. They did not send any notice to the petitioner. So there was no reasonable possibility for my clients to file the motion to reopen within the 90-day time period. They just did not have that opportunity to do so. And once they did find out that there was even a possibility that the board had rendered a decision, they did file the motion to reopen. We believe that it was timely filed. The board dismissed the motion to reopen as being untimely filed because it was outside the 90 days. It was actually about 90 days after that when they did find out. We believe that because of the ineffective assistance of counsel, because of his failure to notify them of the board's decision, because of his failure to keep anyone advised of his address, because of his failure to file a brief in the first place, that they have been deprived. First, they were deprived of a full and fair hearing in front of the board of their claim, which the judge thought was a very close case. They were deprived of their ability to file a motion to reopen within the 90 days, which they could have done had they had received notice, had the attorney kept them appraised or kept the board appraised of his address. They lost the right of voluntary
parking. On that point, when was the, from the time before they got the, or at the time they got the bag and baggage notice, and then moving back, when was the last contact they had with the attorney or the court or anything else on the status of this case? How long a period of time are we talking about where there's no communication, no knowledge?
If I understand your honor,
I'm trying to figure out how long a gap of time between the last official act, we'll call it, either communication from the attorney or from the court, until they got the bag and baggage.
Their last contact with the attorney prior to their receiving the bag and baggage, I do not
pretty
know.
Pretty long period of time, I think.
Honestly, I don't believe it was, Your Honor. There were, and I know counsel says in her reply brief that they had only the one contact. That's not actually true. Only one contact or attempted contact is referred to in the brief, but there were others. And the judge himself, in his ruling, said that the Board of Immigration Appeals may take from 4 months to 4 years to render its decision. So there is, it's not like they could camp out on Falls Church, Virginia, waiting for the board to make a decision. They did contact his firm, and his prior firm, had assured him they were in good hands. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. I don't know the date that they had last contacted them, but the board's decision ultimately, when it came down, they acted immediately. When they found out about it, they acted immediately. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Well,
I understand.
It's good enough. I mean,
I understand the question, but
yeah,
the,
you know why I'm asking. Because
correct.
How long a period of time?
Correct.
Unfortunately, as you know, and we all know, that delay has been the hallmark of these INS cases. And if you just go in there, and then because of their backlog and everything else, you sit around for 3 or 4 years without any problem.
And so that was part of the problem, and the judge even pointed that out.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of times. It's changing somewhat now, which is causing other strife.
That's true too. It's a whole different problem. But they did. They had contacted the attorney a couple times, and were always told that everything was under control. When they contacted his firm and found out that he was no longer there, he was told by the attorney at the firm that they were in good hands and everything would be taken care of. They never received any change of address from him or anything else, and we believe, especially since the board does not send notices of their decisions in represented cases to the petitioner themselves, maybe they should do that. Mm-hmm. But they don't. They only send it to the attorney. In this situation, they just had no opportunity to file a motion to reopen within the 90 days, Your Honor.
Okay. All right. Ms. Federighi? Tell me. What's it sound like?
Carol Federighi, Your Honor, for
Federighi, okay.
The respondent in this matter. Good morning, Your Honors. This case involves a motion to reopen that was filed with the board more than 90 days, indeed more than 180 days after the board decision. Petitioner's motion to reopen was simply untimely. The board acted in full accordance with its regulations in dismissing the motion, and it cannot be held that the board abused its discretion in following the regulations. During the more than 8 years that this case was being adjudicated, the petitioners had more than adequate opportunity to make their case. They're not entitled to more here, and therefore the petition should be dismissed. This case is controlled by the court's decision in Krugliak, which held that the board properly dismissed a motion to reopen that was filed untimely. Pursuant to the board's regulations, a motion to reopen must be filed no later than 90 days after the date on which the final administrative decision was rendered in the proceeding sought to be reopened. And I just want...
Is there some reason that they don't send a copy of the decision also to the party involved?
I don't know what...
We wouldn't have this case before us.
I don't know what the reason is, but it's true, as Petitioner's Counsel stated, that in represented cases where there's an attorney has filed an appearance on behalf of a petitioner or of an alien, that the communication is with the attorney's office.
But they got the bag and baggage notice somehow or other.
That's true, yeah. I don't know why there's a difference. I can look into that and get back to you if you would like briefing on that issue. I just wanted to, Your Honor, did you have a question?
Yeah, I do, because I'm just... This is one of those cases that it's so worrisome, because, you know, we've got to demonstrate egregious circumstances and actual prejudice. And what we have here is an utter abandonment of the Ahmeds, it seems. Well, that would constitute egregious circumstances. In other words, the proceedings were so fundamentally unfair that the Ahmed family, you know, was prevented from reasonably presenting their case. They thought the attorney is briefing the matter unbeknownst to them. The lawyer is, you know, like nowhere to be found. I just don't see how the IJ could believe in his legal determination that Ahmed didn't face persecution. The police beat him to unconsciousness. The police maintained on occasions, this is what he alleges, that the laws wouldn't be enforced to protect the rights of Muslims. And the government participate in stripping him of his property rights without due process of law. Well, maybe so, maybe not. But not to have any opportunity to present this, I think we have egregious circumstances and actual prejudice.
Well, I would disagree with your conclusion that they didn't have an adequate opportunity to present their case. They filed their asylum application initially with the INS directly, and they did get an interview with an asylum officer who declined to grant them asylum. So that was the first chance they had to present their case. Then the case went into proceedings before the immigration court, where they again got a full chance to present their case. And the immigration judge held that they were not, he did not believe they were entitled to asylum.
But they had no lawyer. When you say they had a full opportunity.
Yes, they did have a lawyer before the immigration judge. That Mr. Hussein, who later, as you said, vanished, was representing them before the immigration judge, and he was present at the hearing and conducted the examination of Ahmed and presented the evidence. So they were represented at that point.
So the whole thing they didn't get is the petition to reopen filed in time.
Well, they didn't get a brief. He didn't file a brief on their behalf before the board in the appeal, and then the motion to reopen was not timely filed because the attorney did not notify them of the decision. Those are the defaults that they claim their lawyer committed. In addition, they say that the lawyer did not present certain evidence and documents at the hearing. I want to mention one thing I didn't mention in my brief because I just realized it going through the record, is that as for the witnesses that the Ahmed said that their attorney didn't present, in fact, the attorney proposed calling those witnesses, which were the other family members, at the hearing, and the judge took a proffer of their evidence instead of hearing from those witnesses. So the attorney did present those witnesses that petitioner now says he erred in not presenting. He did make an attempt to present them. So that was not something that he could be charged with. As for the other issues and whether there was actual prejudice, the petitioners make no argument that there was any way they could have prevailed if they had a chance to brief the case. They never argue or explain how briefing would have altered the board's decision. In addition, it's not a claim that they initially presented to the board in their motion to reopen, thus they failed to exhaust it. And this is something for which exhaustion should be required because it's something the board can easily fix by reopening the case, taking briefing, and going back to square one. So the fact that they did not ask for that relief before the board means they did fail to exhaust administrative remedies that would have been effective, and therefore this court lacks jurisdiction over that.
Is that because of the failure of the counsel?
This was their new counsel, Your Honor, that was presenting the motion to reopen. So it was not a failure of the counsel whose ineffective assistance that they're complaining of here.
It was filed late, though.
Yes. The lateness of the motion was, that they argue, is due to their old counsel's failure to notify the board of his
absence. It's sort of a catch-22, isn't it? I mean,
I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
Failure to exhaust, but they can't because he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, failure to exhaust the claim that he didn't file a brief before the board because that.
Oh, I see.
They didn't even raise that in their motion to reopen, even assuming that the motion was. I see what you're saying. Even assuming the motion to reopen was timely or that the untimeliness could be excused, they did not exhaust that particular issue in the motion. As for the rest of the motion to reopen, as I said, the witnesses that they claim the attorney didn't present actually were presented to the judge. He doesn't explain what documents were not presented or how that could have helped his case, and therefore they've not established prejudice from that. They've also, as far as change country conditions, they mentioned in the motion to reopen a new law in India, but attached no evidence of what that new law was or any evidence other than just what the counsel said in the motion as to the effect that that law was having in India. Therefore, there was no evidence, no dispositive evidence of any change in country conditions. And that's the other reason why the board denied the motion to reopen, is that there was no justification for reopening on the merits in addition to it being untimely. As far as the untimeliness goes, I just want to point out that the regulations don't provide for any exception to the untimeliness, to the time limit for motions to reopen. And this circuit has not held that the time limit can be equitably tolled. Some circuits have held that the time limit can be equitably tolled, but those circuits have required that the petitioner show due diligence in monitoring the status of their case. In the present case, petitioners did not show any diligence in monitoring the status of their case. They have asserted in their papers that they only made one contact with the attorney's office, at which, when they were told the attorney no longer worked there, but, oh, they shouldn't worry. They didn't go any further to actually try and track down where the attorney was. They never tried to contact the board themselves to find out the status of their case. There's a phone number, a 1-800 number that's provided on materials that they would have gotten that... where they could have called the board and ascertained the status of their case. Therefore, they would not, even in circuits where equitable tolling is allowed, they would not be entitled to it in this case. I just want to point out also, in addition to Kugliak, the case of Stroh, in which this circuit did hold that dismissal of an appeal is an appropriate sanction for failure to file a brief. If there's no further questions, Your Honors, I think that's all I have to say, and we believe the petition for review should be denied. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to add? You've got 1 minute.
In addition to the witnesses, she referred to the proffer of evidence. There was also documentary evidence that counsel had not had translated, which could not be presented to the court because it was not in the English language. It had been tendered to the attorney. The judge had found the testimony to be credible, that they had suffered harm, that their claims were true, and considered it a close case based on both religion and economics. The board's own record, they did not know at the time why, and I state that in my brief, that they did not know when they filed the thing why the decision had been rendered as a denial. They found that out through the Freedom of Information Act that was subsequent to the filing of their of the motion to reopen. The motion to reopen was filed at the time it was because the bag and baggage was requiring them to report within a couple of days for deportation with their bags in hand, ready to be put on an airplane and sent home to the country that they were trying to claim asylum from. This is an asylum claim. If they're sent back to the country where the judge found that their claims were true, that they had suffered harm, if they're sent back to that because of the...
Your time is up. Thanks very much. The case will be taken under advisement. That completes the arguments for the day. In case the court will be in recess, for a while. Not at all. Thank you.
Yeah. Look at the booths here.